Current state on 90.5 WKAR, I'm Mark Bayshore. East Lansing novelist Susan Frachel has published A Lure of Deceit, a tale that takes place in Afghanistan and East Lansing. It's the sequel to her well-received Fear of Beauty. Tonight, Frachel will be one of several local authors appearing at the Schuller Bookstore in the Meridian Mall. That's at 7 p.m. Current state Scott Pohl is here with more. I see the author's an award winner then, Scott.
Well, Fear of Beauty was nominated for a Mary Higgins Clark Award,
okay,
so fans of Mary Higgins Clark books might find that of note. Her new book, A Lure of Deceit, is aimed at people who have an interest in modern-day conflicts over religion, national customs, family, and gender roles.
It's a story about a small village that's very astounded to be regarded as the recipients of charity, foreign charity. And the charitable giving begins when a young inventor and his wife are killed in a terrorist attack in India. And to the surprise of all their friends, they leave a massive fortune, and they direct it to a foundation in their name. And they were on their honeymoon when this happens, a terrorist attack. And one of the parents takes over the foundation, and she uses the funds and the programs to investigate the death of her son.
So tell me about why Afghanistan plays into this then, if they're Americans and the terrorist attack occurs in India, and what's the East Lansing angle?
The terrorist who attacks is an Afghan, an illegal Afghan living in India. And the director of the foundation lives in East Lansing. And so she is orchestrating this investigation from East Lansing.
The foundation is also trying to do some charitable work, though, and that leads to some strife and controversy in Afghanistan. Is that right?
In this small fictional village that's very remote and highly illiterate. In fact, only a few people can read. And so they're quite surprised. They think of themselves as very comfortable and very prosperous and with everything they could want. And they're very surprised when foreigners arrive to say, you know, we're here to help you.
And they resist that assistance for some reason?
They're puzzled. They don't think it's needed. There were some orphans who were in the area because there was some child trafficking going on previously. They returned most of the orphans to their homes, so they no longer feel the need for assistance. Actually, in the previous book, the U.S. military had helped return these orphans to their home villages from this child trafficking ring.
Okay, now you said the previous book. We'll need to bring people up to speed with what you mean by that.
Okay, this is a sequel to Fear of Beauty, the first book in my Afghanistan series. And that is about a woman who's desperate to learn how to read after the death of her oldest son on the day he was supposed to leave for school.
Now, the book is divided into several parts, and each of these parts opens with a quotation from the Quran. I wanted to ask you about choosing to use these quotations from the Quran in your book.
I feel like the quotations I select are the kind of messages that suggest that, you know, they're totally opposed to extremism. They're totally opposed to wrongdoing. One of them, in fact, is Allah does not love the mischief makers. And I just feel like they set the tone for how this small village is trying to go about, live their lives, you know, have their values. But I also use them because, as you know, any piece of text that we get can be interpreted in different ways, and the various parts tend to show that as they proceed from the quote from the Quran.
Do you think A Lure of Deceit would appeal to Muslim readers, Christian readers, even non-believers?
I certainly hope so. I've had a lot of people from the various groups. I've had, you know, atheists, Muslims, and Christians, especially Catholics, really respond to the book and the theme that too often religion is used to control people, and that the people who are trying to do the controlling have a separate agenda rather than just sharing spirituality.
It's interesting that you say that Catholics respond especially in some fashion. Do you have any sense for why that might be?
I have found that, and I'm kind of surprised myself. One reason is because I was raised a Catholic, and my family is Catholic, and my parents are very effusive about sharing the book with their friends. And They're sharing it with Bible study classes and also sharing it with the Muslim friends that they know. It's not about a clash of cultures between two groups. It's more about how when change occurs, there's internal polarization within these groups. There's internal polarization in the village. There's internal polarization in the charity. In the previous book, it was internal polarization with the military, provincial reconstruction team. That's the thing. How we react to change is often more important than, you know, the change itself.
We're talking with author Susan Frachel of East Lansing about her latest book called Allure of Deceit. And I wanted to ask you about the title. What is, in your mind, the allure of deceit?
If you live in a kind of place where women cannot easily talk with men, where children cannot discuss their questions they might have about what their parents' activities might be, or what their religious beliefs might be, and you have to keep so many secrets, lying is a form of protection.
I'd like to talk about the image on the cover. I find it interesting. We see a couple of covered heads like we're used to seeing in the Muslim world. And we also see a child peeking out from a head covering. It's quite a striking image. Can you tell me a little bit more about how this image was selected, where it came from?
Yes, it was taken by an AP photographer in a refugee camp, that was holding Afghanistan people who were fleeing the fighting. And he took this picture of this refugee camp of a bunch, you know, this family of, including many women. And shortly, no identity for the child. There was no identity. It was a stock photo chosen by the publisher. Shortly after, the photographer was badly injured in a landmine that hit his car. In my story, I think it's important to note that in the rural parts of Afghanistan, the women do not wear the burqas. They wear more of the traditional clothes, that is a loose headscarf and an over jacket and the loose baggy pants, because they are very hard workers and they're working, you know, in the farm and carrying water and tending animals and that sort of thing. And so this is a scene when in Kandahar, at the Kandahar market, and the little boy who leaves his village and has gone so far, first time he's ever traveled 50 miles away from home and away from his family, he's very startled to see these women wearing these clothes. This is not typical for him.
I'd like to learn about the research you've done for Fear of Beauty and now Allure of Deceit. Tell me about the research you've done. Have you been to Afghanistan?
I have not. I did try to go, but to travel as, you know, embedded with the troops. I think it's almost a good thing that I didn't do that, because this book emerges from my own, you know, from research, yes, but from my own personal experiences and my own observations. And it's a personal look at how globalization can change lives and also bring a lot of fear about that change.
Conversations with Afghans, maybe?
Oh, yes. I've had conversations with Afghans, Afghan refugees. With my full-time job, Yale Global Online, where I work most of the time, I cover we cover globalization, issues of globalization. And, of course, globalization involves war and cultures connecting through war and trade and other things. So reading a lot about the war in Afghanistan, and I started to have a lot of questions, and I started to have this story came to mind about what women could do to thwart extremism in their communities.
Susan Frachel is the author of Allure of Deceit. Khaled Hosseini has shown that there's an interest in Afghanistan and books about Afghanistan, books that at least in part take place in Afghanistan. If nothing else, from a marketing point of view, that has to be encouraging to you.
It is. I mean, I think Americans are naturally curious about other places, all kinds of other places. I do worry that, you know, people will think these books are about war. And the first one was about war, but it had a very hopeful message. And they're very optimistic. And I'm trying, you know, I think through education and through curiosity and through just a little bit of, you know, tolerance within a family. And how families have to have some measure of tolerance between parents and children. I mean, children are just not perfect, and your parents don't always do what you want. I do think that little bit of tolerance and ability to pose questions to your parents and that sort of thing can bring change. And as, you know, as they meet new people, either from the military and now from the charities that are working over there with so many groups, and the refugees deal with so many aid workers and charitable groups and that sort of thing, it brings slow change, but it is change.
Do you think a reader would benefit from reading Fear of Beauty first and then Allure of Deceit? Is there a linkage there that's strong enough that it's important to read them in order?
No, definitely not. I mean, Allure of Deceit does follow, but you could read them in any order and still come away with the essence of the story.
Will there be more?
There will be one. There will be at least one more.
At least one more.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Susan Frachel of East Lansing is the author of Allure of Deceit. She is one of a number of local authors who will visit the Schuler Bookstore in the Meridian Mall at 7 o'clock on Tuesday evening. Susan Frachel, thank you.
Thank you.
For Current State, this is Scott Pohl.